Welcome back to RBKD. I'm noticing a very East Coast feel to the Way Back Rap Wednesday. Old school hip hop hump day. Yeah. East Coast feel. I don't know if you think it's been all East Coast, right?
I like almost all of them, yeah. Yeah. I'm more of an East Coast rap scene guy myself.
Interesting.
So.
Okay.
I didn't want to share that opinion too much because I know y'all love Tupac so much. So
yeah.
Tupac was born on the East Coast.
I know, but...
You've always said that Tupac...
Smalls
Tupac was born on the East Coast.
But he was known as a West Coast rap.
That's right. I mean.
He's born on the East Coast and lived on the East Coast.
He did.
He moved to the West Coast until he went to jail.
Hey.
I know, but... Biggie Smalls is the East Coast
rapper. He didn't give the E. He gave the dub.
I know, right. But I'm just like, I think he was born in like New York or something, too.
Yeah, I think he was.
And then he moved to Maryland and lived in Baltimore for a while. So it's kind of weird that everybody like associates Pac with West Coast. I get it because of Death Row, but studying his life, most of it might have been spent on the East Coast.
I know.
Which is why he is the GOAT, because he's got the best of the East Coast, which is all about the lyrical manipulation, right, of the language. That's what the East Coast rap is about. And the West Coast rap was all about the birth of gangster rap.
Yep.
Right? The East Coast wasn't gangster rap first. And then you got the Third Coast, which is his own monster altogether. Third Coast hip hop is all about, man, it's a weird fusion. Because then you got the New Orleans, like the Louisiana style rap, then you got the Texas style rap.
H-Town.
With H-Town. It's just a weird little mix. And I think that's pretty much the Third Coast, just Louisiana and Texas.
Yeah.
In terms of the rap style.
Idaho rap is different.
Okay.
It is.
All right.
It's
mocking. You just
in South Dakota, the difference between South Dakota and North Dakota rap.
Don't get me started on Washingtonian rap.
Oh,
you know?
Can only imagine.
Oh, man.
Can only imagine.
Macklemore? Okay. Yeah, wow.
That's not like a hip-hop snob, I guess. There you go. Okay, all right, moving on, man. I know how to catch a hint there. I know how to get a hint. Previewing Texas Rice. Let's get back to it. We also got some sound from Casey Thompson that we are going to play a little bit, too. We can get to some Big 12 conversation. But we've got to start previewing the Texas Rice matchup. And I brought this up earlier. Man, Chip Brown had a really interesting piece, too, over at part of this either Morning Brew or The Insider over at Horns 24/7.
I think it was Morning Brew.
Yeah, breaking down Rice a little bit, giving you some nuggets on that. And I did point out that they are in a quarterback competition themselves. I'm not really sure who's going to start the game versus Texas for Rice. They had Wiley Green and Luke McCaffrey. Remember, Luke McCaffrey actually transferred from Nebraska?
Yeah.
And
you know what McCaffrey that is.
Yeah, I know McCaffrey of the McCaffrey family.
Right.
Yeah, he's brother of Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey, yeah. Ed's son,
yeah.
Dylan was the quarterback at Michigan.
How many McCaffreys are in the McCaffrey bunch there?
Three that I know of.
That have played college ball.
That have played college ball.
Wow, they're like the Watts.
They are.
Watts like that, too.
Christian was really good. Dylan was a five-star. People thought Dylan was going
to
be great.
And what happened to Dylan? Is he just
never played at Michigan, and he transferred.
Is he still in the system? Like, he's still playing?
I don't know. I need to look him up.
Might have some eligibility.
That actually reminds me.
With the COVID and all that kind of stuff.
But when Luke transferred from Nebraska, Scott Frost was giving him crap, or at least came out and said on Twitter.
Oh, I remember this.
And do you remember, I think it was Christian who got on Scott Frost, because if you're old enough like me and we're watching college football, you transferred.
It's the only reason that we know who you
from
are.
From Stanford to Nebraska.
To Nebraska.
Arizona State.
We know.
96 night game. Jake Plummer, Keith Poole.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep going.
How quickly we forget. That's weird.
That's where if you're a coach, you know who else has to be careful with that? And I've never heard him say anything. I don't think he'd be the type of guy who would. Mac Brown.
No, Mac wouldn't go there.
He wouldn't go there.
He wouldn't.
But Mac was Vanderbilt and then Florida State,
Mac's
right?
Mac's too player-friendly guy. He wouldn't do that. No way. You're right, though.
But if you're a coach and you transferred,
you can't be.
Watch out with that.
Yeah, you transferred back in the day when it was frowned upon.
Exactly.
It was a shameful thing to do. And then now you're getting all these guys where they actually have
when there's
free
something
waivers.
Set up where you can do that.
To transfer in the portal. I totally agree. I don't know why Scott Frost did that. Might have been the beginning of the end for him anyway.
I think the beginning of the end was leaving Central Florida.
It might. I could have sworn that was one of those ones I thought would work too. I thought Scott Frost at Nebraska would work.
King maker programs. Watch out. Watch out, USC, with Fickell or any of these guys.
U of H is like that, too.
U of H is like that. Memphis is like that.
U of H has got
Central Florida is like that.
Yeah.
Cincinnati. There are programs that are king maker programs.
And, you know, okay, what's the common denominator for
Boise
some
State.
Of them? Well, you know what?
I did a bad job. I did a bad job this year, and we won 11 games.
Yeah, but is Boise State a kingmaker? Because at least those guys have turned out to, some of them have turned out. Chris Peterson was a good coach.
He was.
Brian Harsin's a decent coach.
You know who started the Boise State thing?
Dan Hawkins.
Division One football!
I know. What I'm just saying, he's the one. He's the outlier. He Brian Harsin and Chris Peterson have been pretty good.
Brian Harsin, we'll see. Right now, you're 1-1 with a draw.
Actually,
Auburn, 1-1 with a TBD.
Auburn, I think, leads. I would say Auburn leads the country in yards per play and yards per play allowed right now.
Okay. We'll find out this weekend.
In
right?
both yards per play offensively and defensively.
We'll find out this weekend.
But I agree with you. Your kingmaking theory is right on.
I would throw Boise State in there.
You could. I don't know if I would because I like your kingmaker theory. I just think the kingmaker is for those. Is basically giving you a false. Can't get a false.
False read.
Yeah,
and Peterson,
right?
There's no doubt. He's legit. He's the real deal.
Yeah, it's a flawed evaluation, right, if you will, of what they've accomplished at that level, at that school, because those schools are unique. A lot of them, especially Cincinnati, we talked about it, right? Ohio State.
Houston.
Leaves them a ton of talent. Houston is.
Memphis.
Houston is top three in the country for producing NFL talent per capita in terms of cities.
Yeah.
So it is, yeah, I think they're very unique situations. Memphis. Not sure about Memphis. I got to see what makes them so unique.
Houston, Cincinnati, UCF has joined that
club. UCF is in that same thing with
U of H. But Memphis has been Cincinnati. Getting a lot of talent around that area.
Could be.
And kids either don't want to go to Tennessee or can't.
You'd be right about that.
I say can't get in, but.
Yeah, I haven't studied them long enough, but you could be right about that with Memphis. Yeah. No, I feel you, though. U of H has been that for years.
Oh, U of H is that on steroids.
U of H has been that for years. Okay.
That's going to change. About to change, kind of. Because they're joining the Big 12. You're not going to have as many gimme wins where it's like, we're 8-0 right now in August.
Well, without Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12, maybe you will.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because it would be much easier Big 12 schedule without Texas and Oklahoma.
They're joining the Power 5. We'll see about that.
Yeah, so, but you're right. I think
still Kansas State, Oklahoma State.
I think
still
it'll be a little bit
tough
for them. I totally agree with you 100%. Okay, let's talk about Texas Rice a little bit. We actually were talking about it then. Got into a conversation about Luke McCaffrey and went off the rails. Luke McCaffrey transferred from Nebraska, threw three interceptions versus Houston. Wiley Green threw three interceptions versus Arkansas.
Oh, man.
So both of these guys have
Rice
had,
has thrown six picks through two games?
Yeah, with two different quarterbacks.
There are old Rice teams that hadn't thrown six passes through two games.
And that's what he's done. They don't throw a lot. They don't want to throw a lot. Mike Bloom Green, I think, is the coach now, right? He was the O-line coach at Stanford for seven years.
Yeah,
so he likes 12 personnel. He'll break out some 13 on you, three tight end sets.
I bet he will. O-line coach at Rice?
Yeah, they had 39 rushes versus Arkansas, 36 rushes versus U of H, 3.5 yards per carry versus U of H, 2.1 yards per carry versus Arkansas. So even when they're not.
I can see these six passes because you know they're going play action and taking a shot somewhere, but you'd think it would have been schemed
up a little bit better?
Yeah, or at least it's open or it's not, and you just get rid of it.
Yeah. It's not. And they did hire, you know the name too, Tui Asosopo?
Yeah. Marcus?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tui Asosopo.
Yeah.
He's the OC now.
There are a bunch of Tui Asosopos
at
Washington.
There were
a lot of them.
Brothers?
Marcus was the best.
He was the best?
He was the best.
He's the one that I remember.
He was
the
one who played in the league.
Okay, yes. I do remember him in the league. Okay, yeah. That's how I know how to say the name.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're a baller when you got a name like that.
Right.
And sports fans can pronounce it.
Yeah.
Like clearly.
And that was when we didn't have a lot of Polynesian names. Either.
We didn't, you're right.
So if you had to learn that, now we're getting to the point where we're getting better. We're getting better at it. Yeah, we're learning, you know.
Yeah.
But Tui Asosopo, that was one of the first ones.
And you're right. It doesn't necessarily roll off the tongue, but everybody knows Tui Asosopo.
Polamalu.
Troy Polamalu. Yeah, now that seems easy, but at the time it wasn't easy.
I know.
Now Polamalu is like,
Polamalu.
You say it fast. Polamalu? Yeah.
I'm saying Smith. What's wrong with you?
No, you're right about that. That's a good point, man. Now it's more commonplace. But yeah, Tui Asosopo is the new OC there.
Interesting.
At Rice. So maybe he's the reason they want to stretch. They want to throw it a little bit more. Maybe he wants to take him some shots. Could be. I don't know. And remember, Rice defense, they return eight starters. And in 2020, they actually had one of their better defensive seasons recently in recent program history.
Looking at that last night, which was surprising. I didn't really think that was going to be the case.
I know people don't want to hear it, but, you know, Rice is an improved program. I know they're still a cellar dweller. I get it. All right. They still occupy the gutter, but they're more competitive than the Rice teams that I used to play. Now, I know Rice upset Texas back in the day, so some of y'all got some PTSD.
94.
But for me, Rice was, you know, they were pretty much a doormat, and we treated them like that. I don't know if this Rice team is a doormat.
It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, and they're not going to just roll over for Texas.
I was going to get a watch last night, but I watched Texas-Arkansas one more time. That's off the DVR now. It's done.
I'm not deleting it because I'm going to have to go back to it.
I rewatched everything. It's online. I looked to make sure. I was like, you know what? I just don't want to see it as I'm scrolling through this. And if I need to go back and watch it, I can watch it
on
YouTube.
You know
what?
Yeah, and I got to give a shout out to the Longhorns. There's a Longhorn that always posts the games. I got to give him a shout out because that's why we have access to it. We have fans that are so damn loyal to the program.
Yeah, even
they make sure that it gets posted
even
immediately.
Games like that.
Yeah, like within 24 hours, game posted.
Hey, can I tell you why
every fan base doesn't have that, by the way.
No, they don't.
Just to let you know.
Can I tell you why we have PTSD, us fans that remember 94, 1917, and
wow.
Kalu and Josh, was it, oh, Josh.
Oh.
Rocco or.
These are Rice players you're bringing up?
Yeah.
You remember their names.
Yeah, I do. I remember Shane Moran's crossing the line of scrimmage on a deep throw. We were just getting to really Adams and Pinckney and all that stuff and feeling like we had a legit passing game. But the reason we have that.
How did Rice cover those receivers?
Josh LaRocca. That was his name. Josh LaRocca.
Oh, I want to say that name sounds familiar.
He's
though.
Probably been a coach then.
LaRocca. Yeah, that name does sound familiar, actually.
Oh, man. I don't know how they covered them all.
How did Rice cover them? It was raining.
It was Sunday night. Texas had some off the field stuff that was going on before that.
Yeah. So, was there suspensions before
that? Yeah, there was stuff like that. Yeah. Texas had Gary Arnell as a defensive coordinator. Although that really wasn't the problem that night. Rice was able to eat up the clock. Here's the PTSD. You just said, well, the Rice teams I played. Well, it's not just about the Rice team. It's about the Texas team.
Yeah.
And this Texas team reminds us right now through two games a hell of a lot more like the 94 team than any team
that's
you were
point.
On.
That's a valid point. I agree with you on that. Yeah. Which is what Sark said. Sark says this is about us.
Yes.
This is about the way we play. If we play up to our standard, then Rice won't be a threat to us. But the Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams size, Cardi B size, but in this conversation is they were tied 17-17 with Arkansas in the fourth quarter.
That
which
too.
Means technically they were more competitive against right. Arkansas than Texas was.
Yes. And vanilla game plan or not, is that something Rod and I have talked about that? Absolutely.
Yes.
Still with all that there, look at that.
Great point to bring up the vanilla game plan because I do believe Arkansas was preparing for Texas, so they probably went into that game
in August,
like a scrimmage.
They were,
like
August
it was a scrimmage
10th.
And did no prep work and no game planning for Rice and used that time to prepare for Texas. But I will say Texas issues were simply on the line of scrimmage. Yes, schematically, strategically, there were things that could have been done, but they were being pushed around on both sides of the line of scrimmage, which will say that Rice, that score would indicate 17-17, that Rice wasn't pushed around on the line of scrimmage as much as Texas was, which is hard to fathom, I know.
And so that takes out scheme like you're saying.
Yeah,
that's just a dude in front of you and maul him.
Yeah, as Tom Herman used to say, sorry to bring up a Tom Herman quote, football at its core is moving another human being against their will.
That was one of my favorite Hermanisms.
It was a good Herman quote.
Hermanism.
It was a good one. Yes, he had terrible ones, but that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about here another good one. That would be Apple Leasing. AppleLeasing.com. You can go find your good one, maybe your great one, whether that's the car, truck, SUV you're looking for, or maybe that's price as well. Lots of people have taken that free quote and just put price in there, put a price range. Maybe you want to edit that after that a little bit. So you say, hey, this is what I'm looking to pay per month, but I want a truck and I want these amenities and this is what I'm looking for. Guess what? They're going to give you really what you could be driving at that point with all those things that are in play. If you want to test drive it at that point, you can. They've got rates as low as 2.9%. Got a lot of different financing programs to set you up as well. If you've got a trade-in, that's going to help out. Of course it will. Just cut out the middleman, sell directly to them, receive top dollar for your car, truck, or SUV. Darcy's online right now. They always have reps on the lower right-hand side. So if you have a customized lease in mind, fire away or call them 512-346-9977. 512-346-9977 or appleleasing.com. Is there anything else you want to get to before we get to break here? Like a cut or anything like that?
I don't know exactly. You know what? We can get to one of these cuts. I don't know if we've played cut number 3? Have we played Cut 3?
We have not played 3 yet, no.
Can we have Cut 3 ready, John, please? Sorry to be talking about this on air. We're more professional. We should have done this behind the scenes.
No. But, do some laundry
the
on
way,
here.
Yeah, the way the sausage is made. You're not supposed to see that. But
people like that, actually. I've had people tell me that. Not necessarily what we just did, but they like seeing a little of the sausage being made.
The studies have been done, though. That's why podcasts have taken off, because people don't like them as manicured as...
Yeah.
You know, as right. kind of radio used
yeah.
to be.
More of a 70s
radio.
Bush and not a
pretty much 2000
yes.
I don't want it totally refined. I like it
and
a little
unfiltered.
I wasn't
talking GW there.
No, I'm with you, though. They're right about that. And I don't know. Ugh. Yeah, that was a great analogy
hey,
there.
Norm's inspiring me.
It was jarring.
All right, gentlemen, jarring. Your sausage is ready. Here we go.
Bushes right, and sausages.
Here's Casey Thompson.
Just
he was
go.
He was asked about has he changed anything with his preparation for the game, seeing as now he has been named the starter as opposed to the preparation he would have for the games when he has been named the backup.
No, nothing has changed. I think I've told you guys before, like, even last year and the years that I was a backup behind Sam, and even the last few weeks, nothing changes as far as my preparation. I still watch full game clips on Sunday and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I watch third down and red zone. And then towards the end of the week on Friday, you know, getting on the bus and going to the hotel, I still just watch cut ups and stuff and go through my playbook and the game call, the game sheet, my tips and reminders. And I'm going to keep the same approach and the same exact habits that have got me to where I am today. I think that it's worked so far. If anything, I think it's time to turn up the notch just a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit more film study, a little bit more treatment, a little bit more time watching film on my receivers and stuff like that. So I wouldn't change my approach. And like I said, I wouldn't do anything different.
All right. So it's not. I like that he's perfected a process.
I just love that he's such a football nerd.
He is.
I dig it.
I mean, I love the Chip Brown report from a few months ago that
didn't go out.
Bijan and Casey are best friends, and that when teams usually go out, they don't go out. They hang out. They want to kick it. They want to watch film with each other. To them, that's a fun night. I remember guys like that on our team. Roy Williams was like that. Roy Williams didn't go out a lot and didn't drink. He just wanted to play football and watch film, play the game, play Madden. He'd rather play Madden by and using their own plays in the game. For him, that was mental reps. He's one of those guys, football junkie. And Casey is that guy. And he's on the Joe Burrow plan. He's already graduated.
Yeah.
He'll take 6 hours or whatever it is, but he's basically devoting himself fully to football.
Well, if you listen to him today at all, and this is the first time you've listened to him.
Yeah.
Obviously, pretty bright kid.
Right. No,
very bright, right.
Yeah. But I think it's a huge advantage, though, that he doesn't have to go to class like
yeah.
everybody else.
Yeah.
He can devote.
This is his class.
He can devote more time to football than everybody else. Remember, Joe Burrow said that was a huge advantage for him
right.
when he was at LSU.
And he was taking 18 hours at LSU, but it's LSU. So, no, right. He was taking one class.
That was pretty good. But, yeah, I like the stories about, and this doesn't mean a damn thing, but I do like the stories about Casey Thompson, right? Calling CDC as soon as Sark gets the job because I need his number because I want the playbook. I want it first.
Right.
Right? Those types. Him working out with Deshaun Watson. I know. I get it. Jokes aside. Working out with Deshaun Watson in the offseason.
You didn't say getting a dual massage. You said working out.
Working out. Yeah,
football.
Working out with him and NFL players. I love that. The story from Chip Brown that he doesn't go out. Like, he likes to stay in and watch film. That's really a good time for him. You know, because at the Joe Burrow plant, all the stories about him, I like them. I like those stories. You know, even his NIL, the cameo for caring? Isn't that what he
yeah,
did?
Yeah.
He just, you know, I think there are a lot of good, cool stories about him, and they don't mean a damn thing. They don't mean he's going to play well.
Right.
At all.
At the end of the day, it comes down to that.
But he's got some of the it. He's got some of that it, and it's got to be on the field. We've seen it on the field in the Alamo Bowl, but he's got some of the it quality, man. He's got it.
He does. It's not going to be, he may not work out, it's not going to be because lack of preparation. And I think the more you listen to him, you
totally
recognize
agree.
That. This
yep.
guy is going to be overly prepared.
Yep.
We got a lot more Texas Rice preview coming tomorrow. We'll really get into the Owls and find out, you know, which one thinks the chicks are ugly and the fans are old and all that good stuff. We'll get into that. Up next, though, Sha'Carri Richardson has to be just shaking her head. Is WADA finally going to do the right thing? They're way behind, but they may be getting there. When they pump it in, the juice is gonna rock ride. True. In the streets is gonna rock ride. True. At a show is gonna rock ride. True. Here we go with the butters, boo. You know how we do. When they pump it in, the juice is gonna rock ride.
Welcome back to RBKD. You can always be a part of the show. Please hit us up via Twitter, in the Twitterverse, for all my tweets out there. I'm at Rod Davis in the Twitterverse. My man Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. And my man John, who is twisting and tweaking the dials. He's DJing us in and out of the breaks on a Way Back Rap Wednesday, old school hip hop hump day. Speaking of, my man John, he's going to be DJing tonight. DJing the karaoke tonight. Ain't that right?
That's right. I'm going to be the KJ at the Common Interest tonight. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So, my man, working the long, isn't that 2 a.m., right? You work till 2 a.m.?
Yeah, it starts at 8, goes till 2 a.m. It's going to be a fun night there, y'all.
So,
John's been working hard, man. A lot.
Oh, he's working really hard for us and doing a damn good job, by the way. But if you are in the mood for some karaoke, get on out there. Hang out with my man, John, man.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, just come up to the DJ booth and say hi to me. Yeah, I'd love to talk, and maybe I can hook you up with something.
That'd be cool.
I know.
There's some people out there. I know there's people out there. There's some R people out there.
No, I want to do it one day, too. I'm going to try to convince my wife one night that maybe we can, on our date night, we can slide through there for a drink.
That'd be great.
Let's go have a drink there.
Let me know.
See if we get, you know, get in the mood for some karaoke. Because karaoke is one of those things that you got to be in the mood for it. And when you're in the mood for it, it's awesome.
Yep.
You got to make sure you're in the mood for
You have to be in the mood for it.
Oh, usually you got to be really, you know, a little tipsy.
I've been dragged to that before when I'm not in the mood for it. I'm just like, whoa.
And you're,
but when you're in the mood for
buzzkill.
It, it's a lot. Yeah.
Oh, when you're in the mood for karaoke.
John, you probably see that.
It's true. But one thing I will say about the Common Interest is it's very contagious because not only do we have a good setup, but we got good lights. We have a fog machine now set up and everything. Ooh. We treat the person singing like a star.
Okay. I can believe that it is contagious. That's why I want to go and just have a drink. Because if I go and have a drink.
If you get through the door, you will soon be in the mood for karaoke.
Yeah, there you go. Because get me in the mood. Right? And it's up to actually the people there who are actually performing to get you in the mood. Because they perform passionately enough with no shame.
Yeah.
You go, well, hell, I'm going to do that. Then I like that. It's all about how confident they are when they do it.
If someone's an exhibitionist and they're letting it go, let me let it go, too.
I'm going up there, man. You know what? I can make a fool of myself.
That's really how Woodstock started. it was going to be a small gathering.
That and a whole lot of hallucinogens.
Which kind of gets to our story here. So I would think the other thing, not just getting a drink, but also, if you're into that, maybe partaking in some marijuana.
The wacky tobacco?
Some wacky tobacco. Could also loosen you up if you're going to do...
The devil's lettuce.
Yeah, the devil's lettuce.
The chronic, as the old folks call it.
I'm going with the old people's terms. The devil's lettuce.
The chronic.
The ganja.
What did Bucky
pot.
Call it? The chiba? The pot. The pot.
The pot.
The pot. You know you haven't done much pot.
I think Chad Hastings calls it the pot every now and then.
We were doing the show one time, and he said... He goes, you know, I know that you've done the pot. And I'm like, well, I know you haven't.
Wow. The pot?
The pot? The weed?
You've never been offered the pot.
No.
Huh?
No.
Is this the pot?
But Chad's had a contact high, and I don't think that was Sha'Carri Richardson. Sha'Carri Richardson was the badass. Remember the badass running the 100 meters?
Yeah.
She was going to win gold. She, during the relays, at least to qualify, she just blew it away. Right. And apparently she found out. Didn't someone let her know it was her mom died?
Yes, I believe she found out.
By the way, I don't care what it was. I don't care if she just wanted to go home and smoke.
She found out like somebody, it was either her grandmother or somebody really close to her passed away. Like,
which people kept on using that story. And I get it. Look, the World Anti-Doping Agency should not be testing for cannabis. It does not help you run faster. Please stop. And so... Look, they're way behind on this. A lot of companies, industries have been way behind on this. But apparently, they're going to review it. They're going to review their ban on cannabis. And what the agency says is a response to requests from a number of stakeholders in international athletics. A.K.A. Rod, we lost money with Richardson not running. It always comes down to money. I knew when I was 10 years old that pot was going to be legal because I knew that at some point they're going to tax it and... I don't care what side you're on, but certainly if you're on the side that you never wanted to see that ever, you probably like some green, different green.
Cream. Cash rules everything around me.
Yes, it does.
Cash. Cream to the green. Now, you're right about that. Oh, I totally, I'm with you. There are still studies that say it's the fastest growing business in America. That just legalized marijuana, recreational marijuana.
I read a lot of those different stuff, or a lot of different stuff, and
it has been for like the last
CNBC.
4 years or so, and it just continues. And more states legalize, the faster it's going to grow.
It's only growing.
Yeah. So your theory,
that was pretty well done. It's only growing. I didn't mean to, but
man,
I'll take it. But I'll take it.
This late in the show, usually that is time we're just mailing it in.
Right. Yeah.
but to your point though, as a kid, you made this point as a 10-year-old, you're right, because it's the local revenue. It's a local tax revenue that for Colorado and for all these places that have legalized marijuana, that's convincing other local governments, hey, you can actually solve a lot of your revenue problems just by legalizing marijuana.
Yes.
And it's like, really? Yes,
right.
Really.
And actually,
and tax it.
And by the way, I believe in balance and everything in life. I don't think you should do anything too much. You should always have balance. And so if you've got an issue with that,
everything in moderation. Yeah.
But sometimes when you bring that out front and legally, you can actually address that stuff a little bit better. And especially with all the fentanyl that's coming over across the border now, and that is seeping into weed now. So,
don't say that.
It is.
Wow.
It is. That's not just coke. That's not just the other stuff.
Why would you do that to marijuana? Why would you do that?
Oh, I thought you were talking to me. I totally agree.
Why don't you lace marijuana? It's already good. Why don't you lace it?
They're lacing everything.
I know that.
And we know a lot of that stuff's coming over the border at a different pace than it used to.
Man, I wish you wouldn't have told me that.
I'm trying to watch out for you.
No, I know.
I'm trying to get Texas to legalize it so you and I can go to a store
and get it as approved by some government agency that has regulated it and whatever. Yes.
And we're all going to win because I won't die of fentanyl. And guess what? You're going to get your money. You're
going to get your money.
Money hungry hoe.
I'm trying to see the downside of this thing.
I don't see one.
Because it started medicinally. The movement started.
It's going to be happening anyway.
It's going to be happening anyway.
It's going to be happening anyway.
It is happening anyway.
I believe we had to. Didn't we have prohibition? Oh, yeah. I've read about that.
It's happening.
Yeah.
It's happening anyway.
Let's go ahead and legalize it.
We lost the war on drugs. Let's just admit it when you do something.
Yeah.
You lost it.
You kidding me? Arkansas offensive line, Texas defensive line.
Oh, come on.
195 yards more rushing. No, he got destroyed. Destroyed. So WADA, WADA, whatever the hell you want to be called, go ahead and jump on board, okay?
So have they put a time frame on when this could actually pass or this whatever this new rule?
They said that they're going to leave it up to the NCAA.
Decriminalizing marijuana?
They're going to leave it up to the NCAA, and they think it'll be done in October. No, they said a new version, which is due to come out October 1st.
Oh, they're moving pretty quickly on this.
They are,
good for them.
Which means they've already made up their mind.
They've already made up their mind.
Okay.
And you know, and you're right, sponsors hit them up and went, man, what are you doing?
Yeah.
She's the most recognizable American athlete, arguably.
She's hot.
In this damn thing.
And she can fly.
That's not, I'm with you. I don't get it. Yeah, that was crazy. But just so you know, the story was her mother, her biological mother. So I'm assuming maybe she wasn't close with her biological mother, but a reporter.
Still your mom. Yeah.
A reporter informed her because a reporter was doing a story on her and did research on her and informed her that her biological mother died.
And your mom's dead.
And she didn't know. And she said it was so jarring. Like, it just really messed her up. Just so she went to, like, a depression. And she said that was the reason she wanted to self-medicate. Which I get it. It's crazy, though, the reporter told her biological mother died. It's like that Jack Nicholson story.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as bad as, what was the Super Bowl question? Chad will remember this. It was so bad. And, what was it? It was, I forgot who it was. I forgot what player it was. But it was Super Bowl and, you know, Super Bowl media and before that week before and the media was one media member asked one of the players and said, all right, I forgot what it is. Is it dead mom, blind dad or blind dad, dead mom?
Yes, I've heard Chad tell this story.
Are you kidding me?
That is hard. That guy should have been kicked out of the media availability immediately.
Forever.
Oh, that is brutal.
Forever.
Yeah. No, that's terrible. That's horrible.
Chad, hit me up if you remember who that was.
Yeah, be a little bit more sensitive because you, as a reporter, you may be revealing sensitive information to that person.
Like, yeah.
The Jack Nicholson probably is the most famous example.
That's crazy.
When a reporter from the Times basically doing a story on Jack Nicholson revealed to him that the woman he thought was his sister was actually his mom.
Okay, that is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that his other sister was his aunt.
Ugh.
It was. He found that out, and he was like 30-some years old, and a reporter broke it down to him. I would have loved to see that moment. So that reporter should tell that story and write a story about that moment. Maybe there is one. I got to look it up.
It makes all sense now. You can't handle the truth.
Well, yeah. He's still single? And he's still a bachelor?
No joke, I can't.
Isn't Jack Nicholson still a bachelor?
Probably.
That's why.
Yeah. Hey,
That's not, a serious distrust of women. Okay. When you find out,
just because you're a bachelor doesn't mean you hate women or you distrust women or there's something wrong with you.
But I'm just saying that could mean that could be the genesis, the origin of a distrust of women.
That is true.
When
that is
true. Your mom and your sister have been lying to you the whole time.
I'm gonna start turning this around on married people. I know why you're married, because you're codependent and can't think for yourself.
That is a lot of it.
That is. We'll be back to wrap it up and tell you what's on tap.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash your mouth?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to RBKD. We got to wrap this thing up, put it in the oven. Before we do, we got to let you know what's on tap. We know what's on tap for my man, John, J.S. Reichel in the Twitterverse. He transforms on Wednesday nights, hump nights, if you will, into a karaoke jockey, a K jockey at Common Interest for karaoke. And, you know, we were just talking about how you got to be in the mood for karaoke. I was like, man, you know what? I got to get out there and support John. How about this? Lifetime Longhorn Quan Cosby, fan of the Common Interest.
Are you serious? That's great.
Texted me and said, love Common Interest, and nice. The people performing damn near need to be on The Voice.
Wow.
He said, I never sing. They're usually too good there.
What?
He said he doesn't sing because he's ashamed of the people that go up there because they're too good.
John, have you seen really good performers up there?
Oh, yeah. Literally, like, 3 out of 4 people who get on that stage are, like, professional level, and they know it, and they do a hell of a good job.
So Quan Cosby gives it his stamp of approval. He goes to the karaoke club.
Rod, it sounds like we would need more drinks and weed than we think to actually get up there.
Hey, I'm going to hang it up there with Quan, I guess. So
that's
there you
pretty
go.
Cool.
That is really cool. So there you go. Common Interest. A lot of stars hang out there, apparently. My man John will be there tonight. All right, what's on tap for you, KD? Tonight?
What's on tap is continuing to clear out DVR. I've got most of my rewatches done, so I've actually ahead of schedule. So I'm going to clear all that out, and I'm going to start looking at Rice stuff. I'm going to start looking at other stuff, John. We're really going to take a closer look at Virginia and kind of what they're doing, because I'm kind of leaning on picking them.
I'm going to say, you're doing some research for your... Is this Beat the Pluck you're researching for, or just...
That and just making some money. Okay. I think I'm going to use my degenerate friend, Trampy. Nah, I just sold him out there, too. I called him last night and said, Trampy. It's like, let's go on this together. It's like, I'm already in on it, but we'll do it. So,
I'm glad you and Trampy were thinking along the same lines before y'all communicated.
Oh, we
said
were.
He was already on that game, right?
Yeah.
That's
thing,
good.
Jump on Michigan State, Miami. That was at 6.5. It's already down to 6. That'll be at 5 at some point.
Trampy sounds like a good bookie nickname.
Yeah.
Trampy.
Yeah. I think that would be his ideal job at the end of the day. He would need some weight to go with it. Hey, good luck DJing tonight, John.
Yeah.
Good job. Rod, anything you're going to be doing? You're going to have sex on hump day?
No, I'm picking up my wife from the airport.
She's
coming back in town. I'm no longer a bachelor.
Oh, man.
There you go.
It was fun while it lasted.
No, it wasn't.
No.
That's why I got married.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we've got a full night. Under the Lights, then Fight Night.
The
Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Under the Lights will be a 2-hour show. I was talking with the guys out there. They're going to have Cade Klubnik.
Ooh.
Hank Carter.
Say what?
From Lake Travis. You got Chris Price, Leander. Like, this is going to be a loaded, loaded show, starting with the number one quarterback in high school, the 5-star, Cade Klubnik. So you guys enjoy that full night still up here. That's going to be it for us. Peace.